top of the power rankings from everybody. There's no debate about it. After Orange County defeats not one, but two top teams from the Eastern Conference. And there's a lot to talk about. And we got a big battle coming up this weekend for the Western Conference. Let's get into it. Welcome to the Podcast of Champions. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast.
This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Orange County Soccer Club, its fans, and supporters. Follow us on Twitter at @OCSC_SoccerCast or on Facebook at Orange and Black Soccer Cast.
How's it going, Orange County? Welcome to another episode of the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Orange County Soccer Club, its fans, and supporters. I'm your host, Ray Samora, and I'm here to take you through this journey as we discuss all things Orange County Soccer Club. Let's see who's going to help out for this episode today. First, from Vegas, we've got Bradley. Brad, how are we doing?
I'm quite tired, but you know, two good games and a very difficult week of matches. Can't complain.
I think two big wins energize you at least enough to get through an episode of the podcast after some a wild weekend. I think not just for us here in Southern California. I think, Brad, you went through a wild weather weekend also. Who else is helping us out today? We've got, it's the bearded one himself, Mr. Larry. Welcome to the show, as always. How are we doing, Larry?
You know, 6 wins in a row, 2 wins in 1 week with 2 clean sheets against arguably 2 of the best teams in the entire league. I literally could not be any better. I mean, what more could we possibly ask for? 3 more points against Sacramento next Saturday? Too much to ask? I don't think so.
At this point, I don't think there's at all too much to ask. I think any doubters, anyone that had any bit of doubt in their mind about where Orange County is now, if you still have any of that doubt, I got to figure out, like, what are you drinking? What are you smoking? What are you eating that's making you a little cuckoo in the brain? Because at this point, Orange County is now, 6 wins in a row. I think only 1 defeat in like their last 9 or something like that, if I can recall.
In the last 15, 11 wins, 1 tie, 3 losses in the last 15. That is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So, yeah, this team is scary good.
It's scary good. And again, if you had any reservations about it, they just took care of coming into this week, the top 2 teams points wise in the league. Now they're both from the Eastern Conference, which we've always talked about is a little bit more top heavy, a little bit more bottom weak. And thus those top teams get a few extra points every season because of some easier victories, I guess. But hey, let's talk about this, right? Not only do they defeat Pittsburgh Riverhounds, they defeat Charleston Battery. Let's talk about both these matches. First off, with Pittsburgh, probably the least impressive of the 2 wins, although they did stifle Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh could not figure out a way to break down this Orange County team, got off a couple good shots, but Orange County was able to withstand that pressure. And then, like they seem to like to do, just a quick counter. A misplay by the defender for Pittsburgh, sort of assisting on the goal for Milan Olasky off the back. Milan takes
possible the quick handball from Milan on that one.
What was that?
I said possible handball by Milan on that as well. If you watch the replay, but we'll take it.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Larry. That's unproven.
The ref didn't see it. So that's all that really matters.
But Milan gets the 1 goal that Orange County needed for a 1-0 victory for the team at home midweek against Pittsburgh. And they were just coming off a gap where they weren't playing. We talked about this last week. Pittsburgh played on the weekend, Orange County coming off a big break, probably looked what you expected. Pittsburgh looked more in form. They looked more ready for the match. Orange County looked a little shaky. I think even Coach Carlson mentioned that, you know, the time off impacted his team, but you do what you do. You get the 1-0 victory and you move on to the next match. Brad, your thoughts on this match and this victory for Orange County against Pittsburgh?
I was muted. I'd argue that I know you said that the match against Charleston was probably the more impressive in your opinion. I'd argue this one's more impressive. Pittsburgh is a team that controls the game, and you expect to make high quality possessions count and matter, and they don't tend to have a lot of goals scored in their games. And 1-0, sure, coming off a extended break, I think it's just more impressive that I think Pittsburgh's best opportunity that game was a bicycle kick that went right over the net. Other than that, they had maybe one or two looks, and it's easy to have a shutout when your keeper doesn't have to face many shots on target.
That is true. I think maybe my thoughts of this is maybe the least impressive is because Pittsburgh really had the ball much of the match. Now, yeah, Orange County was sort of letting Pittsburgh do that, sort of giving them the ball in their half of the pitch. I guess when you look at it, and maybe I'm just because I was nervous because of what we've seen in the past, I was nervous with some of the play out of the back from Orange County. I felt like there was just a couple opportunities where, man, just one sort of slip, one misplay, and there's Pittsburgh with a goal or two. But maybe that's just, I mean, that lulled me to sleep. Cause I think the one counterattack was because Pittsburgh was just pressing and pressing and pressing, finally got caught out of position and Milan Alaska gets the goal there. Larry, your thoughts?
You know, I'm going to admit Pittsburgh impressed the hell out of me. They are a fun team to watch. Their defense is unbelievably stingy. And they move as one. If you're watching, unfortunately, the ESPN feed at Championship Stadium, you're not up high enough, but from the far touchline, down by the, well, what we're looking at right now, down from that end, you can see me standing down there. From that end, watching their defense move, they move just as a unit wherever they're going. And it is really pretty to watch. And I was looking at that the whole first half, just going, man, how are we going to break through this? They are just tough. And then we finally did, which was great and fantastic. But I never felt like Pittsburgh really threatened us offensively. It seemed to me that we had control of that game. They had the ball a lot more, no question. I don't know what the breakdown on the possession was, but it just seemed like Pittsburgh had the ball the entire time. But the way Orange County played, in control, calm, never panicking, it was beautiful to watch. OC against Pittsburgh, well, I'd love to see that game again come mid late November timeframe.
And let me just say this. I was talking to one of my neighbors just the other day. The first match he ever attended for Orange County was this match against Pittsburgh. And just to call out, he called out a couple names, and one of the names he jumped on right away as like that amazed him was Kevin Partita and what he does on this team. The comment from this neighbor, him and some buddies that are big soccer fans, went out to. Basically, they thought that this league and that Orange County, going into it not knowing the team at all, that this is sort of, your amateur, semi-pro type league. You're going to have a lot of mistakes. You're going to have a lot of sloppiness, that it's not going to be really great soccer. He left very impressed with players like Kevin Partita, Kyle Scott. Oh, the other name that he called out early on, Marcus Nakim. He was impressed by these players with the skill, with the composure, and with the way they just dominated and they handled the team. And again, we're talking about Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was pressing and pressing and pressing high on Orange County. Orange County just kept passing it around and waiting for Pittsburgh to just press out of position and then took advantage. And I think really, when you look at it, Orange County, maybe when we see in the highlights right there, the Cameron Dunbar, when he came on, there should have been maybe another goal at that point as well to sort of seal the deal. Cameron Dunbar looks amazing, by the way. We'll get into talking about him. But I thought all around, yeah, I said this was the least impressive. And the only reason I said that is we had the Charleston match that came up over the weekend, and Charleston, Orange County looked like they were just dominating that match. And maybe that just means Pittsburgh is a lot better than Charleston is, who knows. But yeah. Did you guys see, I forget who posted it. It might've been Logan. It might've been someone else about Bobby Lilly sort of getting on his players like an hour after the match on the pitch. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Does anyone have a right to be upset about losing to Orange County in that fashion? Or is this now the norm and teams should expect this? Larry, you're shaking your head. What do you think?
No, you can't get, how do you get pissed at your team when you lose to the team that is arguably playing? The record doesn't show it yet, but this is a team that is playing better than everybody else in USL Championship right now. And they have been for several weeks. Last 15 or last 14, Orange County, 11-3-1 again. I mean, that is a ridiculous number out of, you know, 14, 15 games. Yeah, if Bob Lilly's getting mad at his team, he needs to seek anger management counseling, perhaps. I know a couple of good therapists. So, hey, Bob, if you're listening, give me a call. I'll hook you up with some guys to talk with about anger issues.
All right, there we go. Brad, really quick, let's talk about the second match of the week, about Charleston, Orange County dominating against Charleston. No,
let's save it. That one for after our guest.
To just talk about it really quick, really quick. But we'll hold off. I want to give you time, Brad. Yeah. Let's just... I'll
respond to your prior question, though, about Bob Lilly yelling at the players.
Talk about that really quick, and then we'll bring our guest.
All right, so from what I've heard from various people around the league is Bob Lilly, this is kind of normal for him, I guess, to kind of go in depth. And I think it's part of a public shame, not doing it in the locker room, instead doing it on the field, you know, to drive his point home. And I'm not saying that this is like, what's the word I'm looking for? Hazing or something along those lines. I think he's just a tough, tough person.
Perfect. We will hold off on talking about the Charleston match until we get a little bit later. We have a guest coming on. We have another guest coming on after that. We will speak about Charleston in just a moment. But hey, Orange County just took down the top two teams in the East. Now what's next?
An opportunity to take down the top team in the West.
And that is Sacramento. We got Jared from State Public on here to help us. Jared, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, everyone. This is definitely going to be a good time, I'm sure.
Definitely. Let us know how's Sacramento doing right now.
Oh, I mean, we're certainly carrying on from last year. I mean, with the success that we had both with the regular season and the U.S. Open Cup, but at this point, anything's better than our 2021 season. I mean, our first season not making the playoffs. So anything past that, it's already the cherry on top.
So basically, you're already happy right now. You're fine. If Sacramento loses out the season, Orange County can win this weekend and all that stuff. You're fine with it.
Yeah, no. But in all seriousness, I mean, it is going to be a really strong match. I mean, Orange County has always been a thorn in our side, you know, for years. I mean, we don't know which team we're going to get most of the times. I mean, especially early this season when Orange County was lower on the table, some folks are thinking, oh, it's going to be an easy win, and then we get our backsides handed to us. So it's just like I've been saying on our podcast, you know, Orange County, we cannot take them lightly because we might feel it's a trap game, and then that's how we end up losing. I mean, we barely won the second match last year, but thing in Orange County was going through quite a bit of a transition, as one could say, you know, the hangover after winning the championship. So, but I'm glad to see that they're rebuilding and getting higher up on the table.
Well, the crazy thing, just so you know, compared to the championship year to this year, it's almost an exact replica, maybe a month or two off when things start happening. Sacramento fans should be nervous, correct?
I would definitely say, well, not nervous. I mean, heavily concerned, yes, but it's always going to be a struggle. I mean, it's just like Rocky and Ivan Drago. I mean, you know it was going to be a slugfest, but who knows who's going to pull out the win? I mean, it's that hard to predict, I guess you could say.
Some people might not hold that reference, by the way.
Let me butt in. Jared, I believe your audio is echoing a little,
on your side.
I think it might be my ceiling fan. Because once in a while, it may have a little bit of noise. Is it sounding any better now? Or
no, I believe, we are echoing through your microphone.
Okay, because I've got a separate microphone here. Let's see. All right.
Live audio.
Yeah, I apologize. Usually this works perfectly fine for our town halls, which also use the same resource.
We can hang with them. I think we'll be okay. It just might sound a little weird, but hey, we'll try and do less talking. We'll let you do some more talking, Jared. Share with us really quick what's going on with Sacramento. How is their run of form? Who should Orange County fans be scared of when we watch this match taking the pitch against you guys?
You're on mute, Jared.
I hate my phone. But as far as any players that Orange County should definitely be concerned with is definitely Russell Cicerone. I mean, we picked him up last year from Pittsburgh, and he's right at the top three of the Golden Boot Award, which should be a first time for Republic FC. Luis Felipe just recently came back from injury, and he was definitely on a tear last year, especially through the U.S. Open Cup, scoring goals against MLS clubs left and right. We do have a new signing, Christian Pirano, who we just got from San Antonio FC. Not even 5 minutes into his first match with Republic, and he's already got an assist with Luther Archimed. So we definitely have some weapons out there. It's just a matter of getting just that right chance, including even Zico Lewis. He's been getting goals left and right in such a short period amount of time. But of course, on the defensive end, of course, you have Danny Vitiello, who is just one shutout away from notching number 30 in his career.
All right, so I'll go ahead and ask a question. So this is a different team than years prior, Sacramento Republic. What does Mark Briggs do differently from this team over prior years in terms of preparing for matches, and how does the formation look differently compared to last year with some of the names being gone?
Well, even with some names, notably off of this year's roster, Coach has been big on togetherness. In fact, our team's campaign was basically together. Whether it be players that have been around for a while or even members that are just joining this year, I mean, he's always made it a thing that everyone works as a cohesive unit. There's no individual superstars. It's all about the team and bringing home the 3 points to Heart Health Park. And that's really been big, because even in a couple seasons past, there has been some chemistry, and then there hasn't been. So it's just a matter that over the past couple years that Mark Briggs has been campaigning, has been captaining the team. Yeah, just making sure it's all a we, not a me mentality. This past year, I mean, I know we lost a lot of big names. We lost Malik Foster. We lost Duke Lacroix. We lost quite a couple of players to Colorado Springs. But so far, it doesn't really seem like it's really paid off for them. But the transactions coming out west have worked out. I mean, especially with Cicerone, Vitiello. There's quite a couple Eastern products that have come through and have helped not necessarily change, but change for the better for the Republic.
All right. And one more question for you. So Sacramento obviously sitting on the top of the table, three losses on the season. How many of those games, you know, without really breaking down too much into it, how close are some of these games? Because I see a couple of 1-0s, a couple 1-1s, a 4-0 against Phoenix. So is Sacramento just living in these tough, close games, or are they not as close as the scoreline leads us to believe?
Well, to clarify, that 4-0 score was a win for Republic. In fact, 5 minutes after that match, we just got a deluge of rain after that. But the one loss that really hurt us was the 3-1 loss against New Mexico. I mean, that was just a horrific match. I think a lot of it deals with one playing on a baseball field over in New Mexico, which I'm sure Orange County is well aware of. But the other matches, you know, the near losses, I mean, it just felt like either we fell flat and not really disappointed, but definitely hurt that we could have easily won those games. Once again, Orange County being one of those games that we ended up not bringing home 3 points, but it was, once again, it's a close match. These losses, with the exception of New Mexico, have been hard fought. Some things went our way, others didn't, but yeah, it's definitely winnable games. We just fell short.
All right. And as a former Reno fan, I miss going to Papa Murphy. So, you know, I wish I could travel up from Vegas now, but unfortunately I can't. I'm going to pass it over to my next co-host.
Hey, Jared, Larry, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing fine. Just keeping cool here in Phoenix.
Keeping cool in Phoenix, words that have never been uttered by anybody. Hey, let me start off by saying great beard, digging it. I'm feeling it. We're going to talk beard products, but we're going to talk them much, much later. Last time Orange County and Sacramento faced off, Orange County could not have been playing any worse. Sacramento could not have been playing any better at that point. Nevertheless, Orange County came out with a 1-0 win. Since that time, Sacramento is some ridiculous, 9 wins, 6 ties, 2 losses, or 1 loss, just something absolutely insane. But that win is what turned around Orange County's season. Since that time, Orange County is 11-3-1. How's it going to feel when we take you all down again in your stadium and basically just kind of ruin your entire season? Because this is a 6-point game. Talk to me about that a little bit, Jared.
I don't know if it's really going to be anything like that. I mean, I certainly wouldn't put anything on the Vegas sports book here, because Lord knows my luck in Vegas betting ain't the greatest, especially after last season. But now I don't sense any blowout for either team. This is just going to be slugfest. In fact, I've even predicted on State of Republic, where we have this contest where we try to predict the score, the first goal score for our club, as well as who gets the first yellow. I put it down as a 2-2 draw. So just to let y'all know ahead of time, right. I mean, because that's how I see it.
That's fairly High scoring, given Orange County game, frankly. Who is it on Orange County, other than Milan Olasky, that makes you, as a Sac fan, a little bit nervous?
Well, I'd say Olasky is definitely going to be the biggest factor of all, as far as on Orange County. I mean, there's probably couple other players that I'm trying to think of that would be a good threat, but Olasky is going to be target number one as far as double team on, you know, to smother defensive wise. I would say if you had one of our former players that actually joined in 2021 for the championship season, I'm getting Monday Night Brain here. I can't remember his name, but he actually was a good team with Cam Iwasa, but you know, in 2021 he joined with Orange County, brought home the trophy. If he were still on the roster, I'm sure he would definitely probably tip it over in Orange County's favor.
Gotcha. One more question, actually came from one of our fans, Roro Lopez. Is he due back anytime soon? What's the word on him?
Well, lately, from what I've been seeing, he's been doing a lot of training, a lot of rehabbing. There's rumors that he might be in this season. It would be great if he would be on the roster this Saturday, but I seriously doubt it. And yes, thank you. Enid Volzin is the name I was thinking of. So thank you very much, Logan. I don't know. It's as far as debuting or returning this Saturday, I'm not going to put too much weight on it because, you know, he's going to have a bit of field rust, but I know he's just aching to get in. I would say, yes, he'll probably be back sometime this season, but this weekend, I have my doubts. I mean, to be honest.
Gotcha. That's it. I just want to say, hey, listen, you know, you guys got a great team. That was an incredible run in the cup last year. It was so much fun to see a USL championship team go that deep and, you know, make a legit run at it. So congratulations on that. And looking forward to Saturday. We'll how confident are you? Are you confident enough to bet your beard?
To be honest, the last time I even put my beard on the bet was against Phoenix Rising a couple years ago, and it ended up being a draw.
I'll tell you what. We will not bet our beard. We're going to let that one go. But I figured I would get in front of it because Brad over here, Brad likes to bet my beard against people, usually when I'm not on the podcast that night.
Oh. You never want to give it up.
It takes time to manage these, you know. It's not like a 3-week process or nothing.
It's work.
Man, see now y'all went into beard talk, and I totally forgot what I was going to ask Jared. here's what I was going to ask real quick. This is totally non-soccer related, but you know, we know you are residing currently in Phoenix. Be honest. Is there anything to do in that area other than a butterfly garden?
I mean, there's plenty of bars and restaurants. There's we're getting a Hot Wheels theme park in Glendale opening next year. I mean, actual Hot Wheels. There's a Barbie thing, Masters of the Universe laser tag castle that they're building, plus also a new resort that's being built next there. So there's actually quite a bit to do here, I mean, especially in February and March, spring training throughout all of Maricopa County. So, you know, if you're big into baseball, I mean, in fact, even the Angels, they have their spring training down in Tempe, oddly enough, at Diablo Stadium, which I don't get.
As a former Angels fan, that one's always puzzled me as well.
Really quick, Jared, before we let you go, just share with our listeners, if anyone wants to follow you guys, hear what you all have to say regarding Sacramento Republic and USL, where can they follow you and your podcast?
Yeah, so we can actually be downloaded on anywhere you get podcasts, or if you don't use podcast apps or music apps, you can actually listen to our episodes directly at sacsoccerpod.com, sacsoccerpod.com. You can also follow us on various social media portals at State Republic 12, and you may even see a meme or two as far as the league goes. So that's where I come in. You know, basically the meme god of the podcast.
Well, there we go. That's Jared from State of the Republic podcast. They cover Sacramento Republic. We appreciate any time a fellow podcaster is willing to take some time and speak with us about this. We have another guest ready to join us. So Jared, I'm just going to have to say thank you so much. And although it won't help, best of luck this weekend.
Thanks for having me. Best of luck, everyone.
Thanks, Jared.
Thank you. So we're going to move right on ahead to our next guest. Our next guest joined Orange County very recently and joined at the right time because they're on a great run. He's featured both defensively and attacking wise on the outside there. And that's Mr. Kevin Langford. Kevin, welcome to our podcast.
Hi.
So just let our listeners know, because you joined from third division Germany to second division US midseason. How's that transition been? Has the USL championship been what you expected? Easier, more difficult? Share with us what that's been like.
Of course. First of all, my English is not the best because I lived out of the US since I was born. So excuse me for this in the beginning. But yeah, I pretty expected what I get. It's like the players are good in this league. Most of the people don't think that, but it's a pretty good league, and yeah, I'm happy to be here now.
I believe when you first came over to the team, or when they announced you, we looked you up on the internet, and it shows that you're more of an attacking winger type player. Yeah. But obviously, your first few appearances with Orange County was more in the defensive role, which I think the fans loved. You're a physical guy out there on the wingback role. What is your more natural position? What do you prefer to play?
Yeah, naturally, I'm more the attacker, the offensive player. But it's like in the first game, our left back had a little injury, and the coach asked me if I can play it, and I said, of course, I try my best. And yeah, till now, I do pretty good. The coach told me that as well, so we'll see where I'm going to play next week.
See, and there's a message for all young soccer players, because there's these young players that only want to play one position that they love. Be like Kevin. If a coach asks, can you play out of position? If you want playing time, say yes and go out there and give it your all. That's all that can be asked. Coach knows if it's not your real position or not. What's been the biggest change for you coming stateside to play this year or midseason here in the States? What's been the biggest change for you?
How do you mean change?
Like, just like the move from Germany to US, what's been like the most difficult part of all of that? Or was it a pretty easy transition for you?
No, not pretty easy, but it's easier than expected, because we have a great team. They made it easy for me. And yeah, the time difference, 9 hours, it's pretty hard. So I only have a few hours a day to contact my family. But other than that, the weather is good here. It's better than in Germany. It's nice. And yeah, I like it here.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and hand it off to Brad.
So my question for you first off is, welcome to the team. Welcome to Orange County. My question for you is, you came in. Who's impressed you in this locker room in the little time that you've been with the team so far?
Who impressed me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, how do you mean that question?
Like, what do you think of the players? Who kind of did you look at and you're like, wow, this player is really good. I can learn something, or along those lines.
There are a lot of players you can learn from. On the top of my head, I can't really name one of them, but some players are good in defending. Some players are good in on the offense. You know that as well. And you can learn something from every player, even from young players you can learn. When you see young players, how they work hard in every training, and you sometimes are not that motivated for one training, and you see them working very hard, then you recognize yourself that you have to give it all in every training. And sometimes you even learn from the younger players.
Of course. So one thing that I like to know about most players when they join the league is what got you into soccer in the first place? Like, where did you learn about soccer and really get invested in the sport?
Yeah, I'm like, like I said, I'm born and raised from Germany, and in Germany, soccer it's a little bit bigger than here in the U.S. And every little kid, every little boy wants to play soccer, and yeah, just like that, my friends also played soccer when I was growing up, and then it was pretty easy that I just wanted to play soccer.
Hey, Kevin, Larry here. Willkommen bei der Show und dem Orange County Soccer Club. ich habe 6 Jahre in Deutschland gelebt, aber jetzt mein Deutsch ist nicht so gut. Ich vergesse zu viel, so I'm going to speak English and I'll do my best. I wish I could translate, but I really can't.
Yeah, but you did pretty well. I understood everything you said in German.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So listen, you grew up in Heidenheim, correct?
No, I grew up in Ulm. It's next to Heidenheim. It's a little bit biggest city. Yeah, there I was born and raised, grown up.
Okay. But you made your professional debut playing for Heidenheim.
Yes, exactly.
At 17 years old, which is, you know, to me, I'm almost 54. Mm-hmm. 17 years old, that's a baby. That's very young. Yeah. And you made your professional debut. How old were you when you realized, I'm pretty damn good at this? I might be able to make a living being a professional football player. When did that hit you?
Yeah, it's like when I play soccer, when you're young, like till you're 10 or 11 years old, I thought if I just don't stop playing, not quitting soccer, I will make it to pros. But then when you get like 12, 13, you realize it's pretty hard. Not everybody can get go pro. And then like I think it was like when I was like 15, 16, and when I made my move to Heidenheim from my hometown to Heidenheim, I recognized maybe I can have a chance to be able to be a pro. And and then I had the coach from the first team from Heidenheim gave me a few chances, and I used them, and then I was part of the team. But it was like it's not like I realized, okay, I could be a pro. It's like that it was a little bit earlier that I could be, but I never thought really, yes, I will be a pro. If you know what I mean, it's like pretty hard to say it in English for me.
No, I think we all understand what you're trying to get across. Mm-hmm. Now playing for Victoria Köln, again, third division in the German Bundesliga. How did it come about your move to Orange County? Was it that Orange County scouted you and they reached out, or maybe your agent reached out? Can you tell us a little bit how that transfer came?
I think it was a little bit of both. So because I wanted to move, I wanted to move from Victoria Köln because I hadn't played that much, and I think Orange County wanted to sign a winger, and then it was like a little bit of both. They saw I could come, and I saw I have a maybe chance of playing here. And I wanted to come to the U.S., so it was perfect at the end.
And you scored your first goal in 2021 playing for Wien. Is that correct?
Yeah, Wien? Wien, yes.
Do you remember your first goal?
Yeah. It was like I just had to do in the empty goal, but still it was my first goal. I will remember it forever, I think.
Hey, empty goal, blow it past the goalkeeper. Either way, it's a point on the board for your team.
Exactly.
What have you found? I mean, you've been here in Orange County for about a month now, I think.
Yeah.
So not too long. What have you found most enjoyable about, you know, Southern California? And had you been here before?
No, actually, it's my first time in California on the west side, on the west coast. My family's lives in the east side, east coast, and I love the weather here, and I enjoy the weather. I think California in general is one of the nicest places in the world, so you have a lot of things to do here. You can go to the beach, I was in the Spectrum, it's also nice. I haven't had the chance to see like more from California, but
and
what I saw is really nice.
And have one more question from one of the fans who are watching right now. It's from Chris McCaffrey. He says, in your opinion, how do you rate the OC fans versus other places you have played so far?
It's a little bit difficult because, like I said, in Germany, especially in Europe, is soccer a little bigger? A lot more people watch it, but I have to say I'm pretty impressed that we have such a lot of fans. I didn't think that before I come here that it was that there will be so much support for us. But the stadium is always almost full, not full, but almost full, and it's really nice to play for such great fans.
Okay. That's it for me. Hey, listen, we are loving having you as part of this team. It is a lot of fun to watch you play. I was down on the sidelines for the game on Saturday, and you made a couple of moves on the defensive guy for Charleston, a couple crossover steps, and you had that guy all tied up, and then made a great pass in the middle to Milan, who banged it right off of the post. So you almost got your first assist. You're looking great. The fans are really enjoying watching you play, and we're super happy to have you here. And we have not lost a game since you have been part of the team. So let's see how long we can keep that going. So again, willkommen to Orange County Soccer Club. It's great to have you here.
Thank you guys.
Really quick, Kevin, before we let you go, I want to ask one very important question. Then we have a couple of fun questions we like to ask all the players that join our show. My important question for you is, after the Charleston game, Milanowski's free kick that got the upper right corner, beautiful free kick, nominated for goal of the week. But I like to argue that Owen Lamb's controlled header transitioning to a volley over the goalkeeper is the better of those two goals. In your opinion, which of those goals was the better one? The more difficult the better one?
It's very difficult. Because a free kick is nice, and he hit it perfectly, in my opinion. But Owen also hit the ball perfectly. So it's like, in my opinion, it's pretty, pretty hard. But I would personally say the free kick. Free kick.
And I apologize. It was Brian, not Milan. I'm just so used to saying Milanowski on goals. It just came out naturally like that. One question that I have for you, it's a two-parter. If you were to open up your Spotify or your Apple Music right now, what song would be playing?
Let me think. It would be Drake, Headlights.
All right. And then piggybacking off what we've asked some of the other players this year, who has the best taste in music in the locker room and who has the worst?
I haven't been so long here to answer this question correctly, but Ashif listens to the same kind of music than I am. So I would say Ashif. And the worst, I haven't heard bad music in the locker room, so I can't really say anybody now.
All right. And then, Brad, if you want to go ahead and ask Dylan's popular question.
So we ask every player who joins our show what their favorite vegetable is and how they prepare it. Or how do you cook your favorite vegetable?
Oh, that's easy. My favorite vegetable is a pepper, paprika. And I eat them on everything. So just like raw. Wash them and eat them like this, or I eat them cooked in the oven.
Perfect. Any last message that you have for the fans that either will be traveling to Sacramento or are going to be watching the game on ESPN Plus? Any message for those fans as you face a tough Sacramento team?
A big thank you for supporting us every game. That's the best you can do for us, and appreciate that.
There we go, ladies and gentlemen. That's Kevin Lankford, winger. I'm just going to say winger because you've been both attacking and defense, but winger for your Orange County Soccer Club. Kevin, thank you so much for joining the show, and hopefully big run coming up here and you guys get a nice strong playoff push and hopefully another star on the crest.
Thank you
so much. All right, so let's move on. Love it. And I appreciate someone like Kevin who, you know, English isn't his first language, but he jumps on here.
He did great.
Gives his all, answers great questions. And I think we all could understand what he was trying to explain on some of those where maybe he wasn't so confident in his answer. So thank you once again, Kevin. Let's go back a little bit. Let's talk about this Charleston match that we almost got into, but thankfully I was told to hold off on that. Coming off a big win over Pittsburgh, they go and beat Charleston. And I'm just going to ask this first question of both of you. Did the USL get it wrong by picking the lesser of the two goals for Orange County as the nominee for goal of the week? I'll go to you first, Brad.
No. I think, honestly, if you ask most people, a free kick, especially from where Brian took it, is a lot harder than a goal from open play, especially the placement that it went into the goal. I definitely think Owen Lamb's goal was better than a lot of the goals on that list. Must have been a slow week for goals across the league, though. So,
Larry, your opinion?
Owen's goal was a lot of fun to watch. That was absolutely awesome. And I was right there down there on the touchline to see the whole thing. And then I was 3 feet away from the guys as they celebrated. But Brian's goal, that is a pinpoint. That is a putting a that's putting a bullet through a squirrel's eye at 200 meters. It was fantastic. I mean, 6 inches one way, 6 inches the other. That's a no goal. So I'm going to have to go with Brian. And I would like to also point out that right after, just a couple of minutes after Brian had that little chip over the top of the goalkeeper, I think this is it right here. Yeah, right here. There it is. So there's a young lady. She does social media for the club. And she's down there trying to film goals, same as I am. Look, there I am right there. I turned to her and I said, Brian Olofsky is going to score tonight. Brian's going to score before Milan scores. And if you watch the video that I posted on the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, you can hear me yelling, I told you, I told you. I called Brian's goal. I didn't know it was going to be that. And it's a great goal. And if it is not goal of the week for USL Championship, I don't know what the hell these people are voting for.
I admit Brian's goal was amazing, and no disrespect to Brian. I know it's a difficult goal, but I think we've seen him do that in the past, which is maybe why I'm a little less impressed by it. I'm super impressed by what Owen Lamb did, is because it was off a volley, and the volley comes off of a header that he won the ball. He was going full sprint. He was going full sprint to get his head to that ball so the defender wouldn't get it, and then control the volley. And if you watch the bend on that goal, not curve, but it went up and then right down into the net. I mean, it was a blast. And the goalie was in the right position for that stop, but it was such a good blast, but a controlled blast, that the goalie just couldn't react quick enough for it. And I think that's why I'm most impressed, because I think most of the time in this league, when you see a volley, it's typically not that controlled and that powerful of a shot that you get in that situation. That's why I think I was more impressed by that Owen Lamb goal.
I'll tell y'all something funny about that, about Brian's free kick. Is up there in the walkway back behind the goal, there was a couple young guys who were yelling at Muse, the goalie for Charleston. They're saying, "Hey, Muse, you're in the wrong spot. You need to be 3 steps to the left. Move left, move left." And then, of course, Brian put it right there. And if the guy had moved, if he just listened to these drunk guys back there, then, you know, he actually stops Brian's goal. But the guy didn't listen, so maybe next time he'll listen.
Maybe. Let's talk about this match. Overall thoughts of this match. I'll go to you first, Brad. Overall thoughts of this match and how Orange County performed.
I mean, it's a lot more of the same story we've been parodying the last couple of weeks. This is Kyle Scott and Kevin Partita leading the team out of the back, playing with the back line, but the ball is touching one of those two guys on its way forward on the field. My other takeaway is, if you change the numbers on Milan and Brian's jerseys, you would have been like, okay, Milan scored a goal, or you would not have noticed the difference, because Brian looked like the better striker in this game against Charleston. He seemed to have just the knack of where the ball was going. And then obviously that free kick goal in of itself. And this Kevin Partita assist here on the Lamb goal. I know we're giving Lamb a lot of credit here for the way he controlled it, but to spot the player making a run, and on the camera itself, Lamb's not even in the picture. So Partida not only delivers a pass to the perfect open area cross field, but he gives it into a spot that Lamb's able to do something incredible with it. So, you know, that's a team effort there. And like I've been saying, it's Partida, it's Scott who are winning the ball in the midfield. They are putting in some really tough shifts, and this team looks better because of these two players in the form that they are in.
That's an important thing to talk about. And I think we've already discussed this multiple times this season, is those two players. I think it's really the confidence from those two players this season is what's making them look drastically different from what we saw last year. And when I talk about this confidence, when you watch the highlights against Charleston, it's one of the very first highlights you see. Kevin Partida is like the last person on defense with the ball, and he fakes a pass back to the goalie and then just dribbles forward. And to have that kind of confidence to pull that off, where if the defender doesn't go for it, you're now screwed. And now the attacking player for Charleston has an easy shot one-on-one with the keeper. And you see multiple times throughout every match during this run, Kevin Partida, Kyle Scott, that's what they're doing. They are so confident that they are not going to lose this ball. They are willing to do these little quick fakes to get the players out of position. And they're willing to just keep passing back and forth with Dylan Powers, with Marcus Nakeem, with Colin Shuttler, with Ryan Dogman, with Owen Lamb, and just keep moving the ball back there on the final third of the pitch on their end. They're just willing to just play the ball around until the other team makes a mistake and tries to over attack on defense. And then now you have an amazing opportunity. The confidence from those two guys and the defense as a whole is what's making this run right now. As good as the offense may have been, that those players are so confident in the back six. It's totally different than what we've seen before this run, right?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And let me just say, just in case Kevin's watching, congratulations on getting married Thursday after the Pittsburgh game. That's awesome. That's a beautiful thing. Kevin, I don't know who this guy is. Kevin Partida is not the same player that we watched last year. Maybe having a baby, maybe getting married, maybe that makes a huge difference. But Kevin Partida is playing himself right into a contract that is not a USL championship contract. In 2021, it was a combination of Dylan Powers and Eric Cavillo doing the same thing that Dylan and Kevin are doing. And it is fantastic to watch. They are the two guys that are controlling our team right now. Shuttler's doing what he needs to do. Milan's putting the ball in the back of the net like he needs to do. And these two guys are just running and bossing that midfield. And it is incredibly impressive to watch game in, game out. Because it's not just one game here. It's not one game there. It is literally every single game that this team is playing. These two guys are doing exactly what you talked about, Ray. There's no question about it. If it wasn't for those two, I don't know that this team would be in the position that they're in right now.
We're running short on time here, but I want to give you, Brad, just one more chance. If anything that you want to mention about this match against Charleston before we go to our prediction standings and making predictions for the Sacramento match.
I don't think I have anything more to add. I think really what this game boiled down to is Orange County is a very, very confident team, and they know how they want to play their game. And we've broken it down, and nobody seemed to solve it across the league quite yet. And I think this Sacramento game is going to be a true telling sign.
One scary thing before we go to the prediction stuff is yellow card accumulation that seems to be creeping up here for Orange County. I don't know if there's any players impacted this weekend against Sacramento, but I know from what I've heard, there's a lot of players that are on that like final yellow card before suspensions are coming into play. So got to keep an eye on that. Prediction time. How are standings going for predictions, Brad?
Quite well. Taylor is just smoking everybody in this competition at this point. I know she hasn't been on the podcast in a couple weeks, but she's been consistently predicting. And I think out of a possible 10 points, she got 7 or 8 this past weekend, only getting the goal scorers wrong in both games. So she is She knows what she's talking about, clearly a lot more than any of us other folks do. And she's starting to break away from the rest of the group, from Kayvon and Haggis, who are close behind.
There we go. Predictions for this Sacramento match. And I'll go to you first, Larry.
I'll make my prediction in a second. Well, you know what? I'm just going to stick with what I've been doing. 2-0 Sacramento. But in regards to the yellow cards, Milan is sitting on 8. Kevin's on 7. Marcus is on 6. Kyle is on 6. Everybody else, Ryan, Dylan, Seth, Brent, Danny Peterson, Colin, Brian, either 3 or 4. So, I'm just sticking with the same prediction that has gotten us 6 wins in a row and 2-0 Sacramento, although I don't think that's what's going to happen.
Brad, your prediction.
I'm gonna stick with my go-to prediction at this point, because what's the word? It's not nostalgia. It's gambler's fallacy. God, the word's eluding me right now. 4-1 Orange County. First goal scorer is gonna be Thomas Among.
Perfect. I'm gonna go 3-2 Orange County in this match. No, I'm gonna go 3-1 Orange County. I'm gonna go 3-1 with the first goal scorer. Let's go for. Who hasn't scored in a while that I want to see score a goal first? You know what? Let's go to Kyle Scott. He's going to score a goal in this match. I also want to say, Christopher McCaffrey, I know you asked the question about going down 1 goal. Our producer Andy put on a great answer to that. Basically, what I was sort of going to say is this team has the confidence right now. You go down 1-0, not just the team, but the fans are so confident right now that you go down 1-0 and you're not worried at that point. Whereas, you know, you look back at like April of this season, we go down 1-0. We're already like saying, oh, this is a loss. Let's move on to the next one. This team is playing so well right now. They have such confidence that a 1-0 deficit, even if it's against the top team in the Western Conference, you're not going to be that worried. Unless it's, say, you go down 1-0 in the 87th minute, then that's where maybe there's a little bit of worry. But if it's a go down 1-0 early in the match, I mean, this team has what it takes to beat anyone right now.
That is absolutely a spot on response, Ray. And that's exactly what I was going to say. That's why I was putting up my hand so we could address that question from Chris. This team going down 1-0 right now, a year ago, that's a huge big deal. 5 months ago, that's a big deal. It's done. We're finished for the night. Right now, this week, next week, 3 weeks ago, it's not a big deal.
Yeah. And I'll add on to that. Not even 4 weeks ago. 5 weeks ago, we were down 2-0 against Memphis, and then we were down 3-1 against Memphis, and we won that game in the second half after going into the locker room 3-3, scoring the only goal on the road on a horrible pitch that was falling apart and needed to have the game stopped to fix.
There we go. Let's get to our random thoughts so we can wrap this episode up, and I'll go to you first, Larry. What's your random thought?
Random thought, congratulations to Spain's women's national team on winning the World Cup. Enjoy it for the next 4 years. The U.S. women's national team will be back, and they will be as good as they have ever been. This is a tough year for the U.S. women's national team, but you know what? How many teams have ever three-peated in the World Cup, men or women's? I think one, Brazil, when they had Pele, and that's it. So, no big deal that the U.S. women's team didn't get it done this time around. Next time around, the entire world will see in 4 years.
I just got to say, though, what's up with the Spanish like football like leader guy that's going just grabbing the player and kissing
him? No, you can't do that. Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's just shocking, especially right there in front of the world. Right.
He did come out and he issued an apology saying that he was very wrong to do so. And et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, that was something, wasn't it?
There, yes. Brad, your random thought.
So I'm going to do a quick little two-parter. The first one, I know we didn't have time to mention it on the show, but welcome Cameron, who's already put in 2 solid, albeit short, performances with the team. If you don't know who I'm talking about, Cameron Dunbar, the new forward on loan from Minnesota. He's back. He used to do a stint, I believe, with Los Dos when they were in the USL Championship. Quality forward, depth to a position that we didn't need more depth to, but he's getting minutes and he's looking good in those few minutes. For my album of the week, this is the backside, Do you guys know what that, who that handsome fellow is?
Billy Joel.
Yes, it is. This is Billy Joel, the Nylon Curtain.
Nylon Curtain, yeah.
I found this guy at my local record store in the U section. And some of the songs on here are just quite good bangers. Billy Joel is probably one of the greatest songwriters of all time. And one of my favorite people to have seen in concert 3 times now.
Amen.
There you go. Really quick on Cameron Dunbar. His debut with the team, that one dribble move where he like got by like 5 or 6 of the Pittsburgh players. And the only reason it didn't lead to a goal is because I believe it was Milan who got the pass from him, very smartly pulled the ball back up because we're trying to preserve a win with, you know, minutes left in the match. So very impressed with Cameron in his debut matches here with Orange County. He's going to score something at some point. Hey, maybe against Sacramento. My random thought, I got to do this. It's a Tottenham thing. I got to say is Big Ange Ball is amazing. If you haven't watched Tottenham and their style of play, it's damn fun to watch. I know a lot of people don't like Tottenham, but Big Ange is legit a good manager. If you like to watch attack minded football or soccer, go check them out. They just beat Man United, which I know there's a lot of Man United fans that probably listen to us. So, I want to say thank you to Jared from State of the Republic podcast for joining us. Also, Kevin Langford from Orange County Soccer Club for taking some time to introduce himself to the fans. Also, as always, Larry, Brad, and our producer, Andy, thank you for helping me out with this. And those of you that listen, chat, share your comments with us while the show is being recorded live. Thank you for that as well. Hey, this is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, and we are out.